Blog Talk Radio.
Soundbelt Option Show with Richard Talk To Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. It is a great morning. I have some good news and some bad news, but I want to tell people about our guest first. He's back by popular request. When we had him on last time and we opened the audience to ask him questions, we had probably 20, 30 questions that they wanted him to answer because he is an absolute encyclopedia of nutritional information. So Stephen Huer is back with us. We do have chats both at Blog Talk Radio and WebEx. I'm at WebEx. You can find that at soundhealthoption.com. Go to radio, and this is Blog Talk Radio. How do they connect with you, Richard, over on Blog Talk Radio?
I suggest also going to soundhealthoptions.com, clicking on the radio tab, and then clicking on Blog Talk Radio, and there's links both for Sherry, and you can scroll down just a notch further, and you'll see the phone number for Blog Talk Radio, which is 347-850-1407, or you can also click on the link there to join the chat over at Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and we do that because we want you guys to be participants in what we're doing and the guests that we bring on. I do apologize for not being able to get to everybody you guys have suggested. We're doing a big push right now with the presidential candidates and trying to find out what they're doing and they're thinking. And there are some shifts. Now, we have a link at Vimeo under my name that has the last president's debate on there, both Democrat and Republican. We're going to be doing another one very soon with Joyce Riley. No sound anywhere. Wait a minute. Is this my problem? It absolutely is my problem.
Can I make a happy announcement while you're fixing that?
Of course. That's great.
So the happy announcement is that there's a movement called the Small House, Small Home Movement, which means it was actually kind of started by a guy north of me in Sebastopol, California, called the Small House Movement, although there are other founders across the country. And the idea is that you're building a home that's only about 200 to 300 square feet, and you build it mostly on the frame of a trailer because then it makes it a mobile home, so that means that you don't have taxes underneath you for the land that you're sitting on. Because it's a mobile home, you pay a DMV fee. That's sort of a quiet, positive benefit. But they're starting to build these kinds of small home developments in areas. It's happening up here in Grass Valley, which is northeast of me in California, where they're building a development about of 20, 30 homes for people that are homeless or veterans that are homeless, since that seems to be a large quantity of the homeless people, where they can live for a low rent and work in the gardens and grow their own food until they get together and, you know, like, have a job. And that's starting to be a trend. I'm seeing it in other states where they're building these small home developments. Somebody comes up with a land or a lot or a piece of property that's not being used. They put 20 or 30 of these small homes on a quadrant, you know, on a piece of land, and they grow their own food, and they're regaining foothold. It's an amazing positive thing.
That's an incredibly happy thing. It's wonderful. And I'm hoping that our guest, Stephen, who is a nutritional expert, can tell us a little bit maybe about growing own food, and we'll be with him in just a few minutes. I have a couple of announcements. We were on the Joyce Riley show last week, and you can just Joyce Riley, R-I-L-E-Y, Power Hour, and listen to the show. They had us on for 2 hours. And during that show, we gave away some more of Jill Madsen's books. For the drawing that we did on this show, Elizabeth Edwards won Jill Madsen's book, Lost Waves of Time. We've had Jill on several times. We love her book. I just got my copy. It is beautiful and talks about all of the ancient ideas of healing with sound, and that everything has a frequency, from our food to our spouses to the place we live. So that's great and wonderful. Another announcement, we had over 50 requests for Jill's book, so we're happy that so many people are listening to the show. We want to be able to edit and put up information that we promised you from our Tuesday show, The Flu Season. Richard and I talked about that for about an hour, and we gave out the frequencies for the antidotes in terms of rife frequencies, and then had our own show with our bioacoustic people to tell them how to deal with it that way on Sunday. But if you want to be or look at that part of the flu season information that we did, and it is becoming incredibly problematic because they're saying now that the flu shot is the worst side effects they have seen in years, about man partially paralyzed after a flu shot. They're causing hallucinations, nightmares, sleep paralysis, especially problematic with people who are taking statins, and we will ask our guests about that. But we're very happy to be able to share with you the bioacoustic antidotes. And I tried to put up the video, got that up this morning, but I could not get up the chart. So for people who want the chart, they could just write to me, Sherry, Sharry, on air at gmail.com, and I will send the chart directly to your email. What other announcements do we have here? We are having, let me back up a second. This class is being sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health, and we are putting on another free two-day technician workshop. So we're being sponsored here by our nutritional software, Nutritional Consultant, and we're going to give that away in that two-day workshop. So we may ask Stephen if he wants to give that away to all of his clients, because we have sent clients to him with these printouts, and sometimes it says something, a nutrient is low, or two or three nutrients are low, so Stephen should be able to figure out what they need. Or if something is too high, that means it's not working or it's overabundant and doesn't have its component parts. So that's part of what you will learn in that two-day free technician course that will cost you $1,200 if you decide you want to pay us for it, and we would love that. But if you'd like to join us for free, just go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, go to classes, and then two-day technician. There is an application because we are limited in our seating. Where it comes to your credit card, just mark it through or put zeros. Yes, we do have to have your identification. I've been getting a lot of flack about that. We have to know who's taking our courses. It is just a legal thing that comes down through our board of directors, and if we want to be considered a legitimate school, we'll know who's taking the course. But there's another side of it. People have been taking the courses that they take for free and then going out and trying to sell them. And we're getting a lot of feedback from people who say, I bought this from your agent, I bought this software from your agent, you'd better give me a registration number. You know, and these are people that we don't even know. So trying to keep track of who's taking the courses and who isn't has become kind of a nightmare, and there's good and bad about it because we can follow up and tell you when there's other courses and free videos and wonderful radio shows with Richard Nye on Blog Talk Radio. We're following a whole series of the presidential candidates to help keep you informed. So we hope to keep that up, and we hope that along with the good and the bad, you can tolerate some of the garbage that's going on. Our guest is going to talk about some of it. When we look at, we're asking people for data, and I got this like 12-page tirade about, are you going to be giving our information to the government so they can follow us through the internet and they can follow us in the New York subway, and are you going to give them our pictures? And no, I'm not an agent of the government. I've been scammed by the government 3 or 4 times. I've been slapped around by the government. I have no love for them. We told you about an audit that we went through for Job and Family Services to see if there was anybody on our record who owed child support, and they found a couple of errors they said were errors, and that I'm really leading up to the presidential election and getting irate about it. They found somebody who had their own business, who was an ex-lawyer, who didn't owe anybody, but they decided that they were going to take money from this guy. And it was about $6,000, and they wanted to collect it through us. So we just paid the darn thing, and that was December of last year. Instead of going to a lawyer and paying $10,000 to fight it, and probably ended up paying $30,000 or $40,000 to fight it. So here we are with this situation, and along comes another audit, and this time from the Bureau of Workman's Comp, and I thought it was the same people, and I was getting absolutely irate. So when that person came and I was talking to her, she seemed really nice. And so I said, I really don't appreciate what you guys did to us last time. And she said, well, let me see what we did. And I handed her the paperwork and what we had responded. And she said, Sherry, you were absolutely right. You didn't owe this. They need to give this back to you. Now, here is John Kasich running for president. He's the governor of Ohio. What he did, and this is totally slimy, and from my perspective and my opinion, they went out and scammed money out of these little businesses that the amount was so small for them but big for us. They knew we wouldn't fight it. And so now they have a class action suit of $780 billion or million dollars. I can't remember. Very large amount. And now the insurance gets to pay that off because they were found guilty. But the state government gets to keep the money and make an announcement that now our budget is balanced. Richard, do you have a comment about that so I can get off my soapbox?
I have nothing I can say on air. You know, it just blows my mind how the bureaucracy just gets to roll along like a Leviathan and, you know, step on whoever they want, and then if they're wrong, oh, too bad. You know, that's just really kind of it, you know. Like, as you said, it was cheaper. There's something really wrong, in my opinion, when there's a situation like you were just talking about where, you know, it was cheaper for you to pay $6,000 and it was to spend $10,000 to have an attorney defend it and figure it out and have it cleared. Is that? That's a whole, like, something's wrong there. And the fact that unless you had gotten on a soapbox with that woman, that would have probably just been like, okay, they paid that, check. We have the money. It's like the seizure industry. I have a rant about that, but that's a whole other show. Where it's a multi-billion-dollar thing now for police departments to take away things when they seize. Yeah, thank you. When they seize something, and you may be able to get it back, but you could be completely bankrupt by the time you get it back. So it's just, there's something really wrong. There's really something sideways in this whole realm of, we have your money, we're keeping it, now come and get it if you can. In my opinion.
A lot of that going on in the border states where they're stopping trucks and just taking whatever cash they have in the truck and dare you to ask for it back. This brings me to the presidential candidates. I'm going to vote for anybody that's going to do away with the IRS first and then Obamacare second. Well, maybe the other way around. I can't decide because they're so interfering with our nutrients, with our soil, with our food supply. And on that note, would you introduce our wonderful guest?
As we all step gently off of our soapbox. Yes, I would be delighted. I could almost just say, welcome Stephen Huer, but I have to read this for people who didn't hear him last time he was here. It was a great show. Stephen Huer is a degreed naturopath, nutritional consultant. He's in his 25th year of full-time practice. Stephen began his search for better health at age 16 when mercury-based dental fillings derailed his health. By being a vigilant student of health, he discovered what it took to achieve a restoration of his own health. He teaches that health can be restored when you bring all the factors into play necessary for it. Many people fail to gain back a high quality of life because they are not taught the correct combination of factors needed to achieve it. Hence, Stephen calls his company Synergistic Nutrition, as it is a synergistic combination of diet, nutraceuticals, mental-emotional factors that play into the equation of well-being and health. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Richard and Sherry. So, yes, this is it's like your subject of conversation prior to bringing me on was all too, I could relate to it so completely, and didn't know you were struggling with those things as well, Sherry, and had to pay that kind of money. I did with the same thing with the IRS, and it's a nonstop system of, you're always being in fear of some government agency threatening you in some way, shape, or form. That, the old system of government, in terms of the original constitutional system that we had, it was like there had to be an injured party before there was a crime, before the government could jump into your life and prohibit your activities in any way, shape, or form. And it's like we've been so far removed from that for so long that people nowadays don't even realize that it's like they've done such a good job of conditioning people's thinking that we have to rely on them, that they've turned us against ourselves. It's like I try and get it. It's like I have employees that have worked for me that end up being totally on board in the beginning, and then for whatever reason they end up blowing a gasket, and then they start trying to attack me in some way, shape, or form that is completely opposite of what they think philosophically they should be living according to. But they do it because the FDA has done such a good job of basically saying, you need to be the policeman out there and you need to punish everyone for us. So whether it's the FDA or the IRS, it's just a kind of an insane society in which we live, where we live in fear of, just trying to live our lives and not harm anyone. We're trying to help people.
We've been IRS audited for 8 years. And when we really added up, and I was trying to find this fire lady that we have, when we added up, 64% of our income goes to taxes in some way, whether it's IRS or taxes to have employees or taxes for workman's comp or fees for this, 64%. So that means we work 7 months out of the year to feed the government. Something's got to stop.
I agree. How do you propose that we do that? I mean, I realize that electing the next new president is always, we've got this hope that maybe, and you're right. I mean, I agree. Unless the IRS is eliminated and this Obamacare is completely abolished, this is like that's the only way I would want to vote for somebody too. If I was voting, that person would have to stand for those things being done before I would say yes, because otherwise, you're not solving anything.
It's totally gotten out of hand. We had somebody send us information. She was living on Social Security. I think she made like $1,400 a month, and they were charging her just in Obamacare alone something like $30,000 a year, and that was with her deductible. It was more than she totally made on Social Security. That can't be sustained. And I think this is the year people are going to turn, and we'll all be in jail because of this. They just can't come after all of us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, the trigger.
Sorry.
Well, the tricky part to me, one of the tricky aspects to me is that at some point it's going to be diminishing returns, because if they keep punishing people with seizures and IRS audits and all of that, at some point, where's the money going to come from? You can only damage the machine that is producing the money, which is us, so far until, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, yes, the fat cats, the corporate executives and the lobbying machine will always have cash because they have people like the Koch brothers just writing, you know, $3 billion checks. However, you know, it's all the sort of middle class that's making all the money that supports everything else. So I don't know how they think. I'm going to spin this into an immune system. It's like having an immune system, you know, environmental factors that irritate the immune system so long that we all become ill or some kind of thing trigger occurs. Well, it seems like we're moving in that same direction, that the government is so out of control financially that it's just, How can that survive as an entity?
Well, have you listened to Walter Van Buren's presentations on the CAFRA, Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, for both the county governments, state governments, and federal governments? Have you heard him speak on that subject?
I've heard snippets of him, but I haven't sat down.
Because basically he says that our government, since like 1942 or something like that, has been investing in the stock market with all the money they make off of all the taxes and all the fines and all the things they collect from people in the public domain, that money has been invested at the state, county, and federal levels to now where there's trillions of dollars in excess funds that they have collectively that never goes on to the balance sheet as part of their operating expenses, but in some way obviously is used to run their, you know, to build their plush buildings and to finance their plush retirements, their pensions that they've got that are so cozy. It's so why so many people work for the government is because they want that pension. I mean, when I was doing time in prison for my FDA and IRS stuff, it's like you talk to the guards and they're like going, I says, well, you know, how's your day? And I says, well, my day will be fine in 263 days. And he's counting every day until he's out of his prison and he can be on his pension in retirement. I mean, this money they've got is so in excess of what they need to even run government. It could run them for like 10 years without taking taxes from anyone. And yet they do the taxation of us to keep us always in poverty. They, you know, that's the whole thing. Is basically, if you can tax, it's the ability to completely control and enslave a society, which is why they do it. They don't need it. They do it because it's what keeps us completely preoccupied with survival issues and making money.
I have a suggestion, and we've talked about this on the show before, that everybody that pays every week into the IRS and the government gets that money, millions a day, and they collect the interest on it. They keep that interest. It never goes to you. We could stop this by not paying out of our salary, our taxes. We could hold it till the end of the year. That's perfectly legal. Put down, you've got 10 dependents or something, so they're taking nothing out. Take your tax money and put it in the bank and get your own interest. I don't think they report that.
Bank interest from bankers is insufficient. Are you referring to some other type of investment?
I don't know how to do it. We even suggested putting up our own bank, making our own bank, and make it for the people. So I don't really know. I know it's ridiculous. My husband had $1,000 in a savings account that was required by the university for him to use their facilities, and he got his quarterly check, and it was like 16 cents.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, but withhold the money so they're not getting the interest. Or even if you're not getting any interest at all, withhold it from them. Stephen, I don't even know if they're reporting the money that they're earning daily on all of our taxes and stuff that we pay in.
They're not. That's what Walter Van Buren is talking about. He says they keep that completely out of the public view. I mean, you never hear about comprehensive annual financial reports being talked about in mainstream media ever. This is stuff you have to find out on your own.
Well, I think they're then turning around and targeting good people like you and many others that I've heard about, and us. They're keeping us below survival. Every week we try to scrape enough money together for payroll and still give people softwares and classes so that they can begin to earn money themselves and get out from under Obamacare. One of the things that Steve says, this is a chat, not Steve and our guest, be sure to boycott Aqua Bounty. Their genetically engineered salmon was just approved by the FDA despite millions of citizens petitioning their concerns that no safety tests were done. Now it's up to us to put them out of business. Exactly. And I think we could put them out of business with a lot of the health information that people like Stephen Huer has at his fingertips.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, we shouldn't eat any genetically modified foods. That should be what people should know that. I think it's just that people don't know where the genetically modified foods are or aren't, because I think the majority of people wouldn't eat them if they knew. So the whole labeling thing is still the issue.
Right, and I'm certain that's the reason they don't want their anti-labeling, is because if people actually saw in a box, like you now see packaging that says, you know, non-GMO, the little green stamp that says non-GMO, and so if it said GMO on it, people would go, oh, I've heard, even if people do, who are not, you know, I'll call us enthusiasts, for lack of a better word, advocates, you know, if they saw a box that said this is a GMO food, they'd probably set it down and try and find something else just because it seems a little spooky. And I think they would, you know, if labeling in general was truthful, boy, howdy, that would change the industries of many aspects. But food is particularly, you know, you can go out to a fine restaurant and get, you know, a whole plate full of GMO foods because unless the chef or the suppliers have a consciousness, I used to be in the restaurant business, and you have people who are great chefs, but until they discover it, there's been in the past 5 to 8 years really an insurgence of awareness in the food world that you want to work with the best food possible, and therefore you usually go out and start going to the farmers markets and you have the people who, you know the people who are raising your beef, and I mean it's more of a homegrown industry. It's less of a factory food kind of industry, and so yeah, with this approval of this GMO salmon is just disgusting, in my opinion.
And all this adulteration of our food—that's what's making us sick. Steve, I need a link. People are asking for a link to the Walter Van Buren.
Yeah, just put in comprehensive annual financial reports into the search engine. That's, you know, the CAFRA is the, you know, acronym abbreviation, comprehensive annual financial reports into a search engine and put in Walter Van Buren, and you'll find it. You'll find him, you'll find his website, and he's the most intelligent, educated, articulate person on this subject and just can blow anyone away on this topic if they listen to some of his many talks that he's done, many interviews that will enlighten people. And it's like, if people really understood this in mass throughout the entire country, I mean, I think that there could be a united front or united effort of people to basically make the changes we need to make in this society if they understood what theft has been going on to us financially, all to keep us in poverty, not to literally fund legitimate government operations.
How is all of this making us sick and less healthy?
Oh, gosh. I mean, just the stress factor for me is one of the biggest factors. I mean, I spend so much time personally on the subject of finding the thoughts that I'm having that are creating my own emotional pain and suffering. And I realize that the outside circumstances give me all kinds of justification for being upset, but at the same time, I know that being emotionally upset at all, and it varies, you know, we all have varying degrees of this upsetness, and I have mine, but, you know, to the degree that I'm upset is the degree that I'm disempowering myself and preventing myself from being, one, physically healthy, and two, putting out a vibration that enables me to attract the things that I want in life, because law of attraction is real. The whole subject that, you know, I mean, I was raised heavily in Christianity, and I was into the Seventh-day Adventist Church for a period of time voluntarily as my, you know, focus, and they were hardcore fundamentalist Christians, and so prayer was really a big part of one's life, morning, noon, and night. I mean, all day long, prayer, prayer, prayer. But what really needs to be understood regarding prayer is that the real science of prayer is the science of law of attraction, and that you are always connected up to the cosmic internet, the omnipresent God force. You're always connected to it, and your vibrational offering is telling that cosmic internet what you expect of life. If you're constantly putting out a vibration of something that's negative, then you're putting out an expectation for something negative to happen in your life. And, this is getting into the realm of, you could say, mental, emotional, spiritual jujitsu, because the dark forces that are out there, government cabal and Illuminati and stuff, are doing everything they can through media and through all kinds of false flag operations to keep us in constant fear. But the real thing that we all need to learn and practice daily to sort of break the control that they have over us is the creative power that we each have by getting in touch with peace and love within ourselves and then broadcasting that energy into our particular dreams, goals, and desires, and to put that force into operation. When the last election took place, I had a friend of mine put up a website that was basically trying to attract people to the idea that if we all focused upon this one vision, that we envision that the U.S. Treasury becomes the Federal Reserve basically is replaced by, say, the U.S. Treasury, and the Congress becomes responsible for creating money out of thin air with no debt attached to it. Because if we really collectively focused upon a thought form where we truly have something clearly in mind as a group of like thousands of people, it's already been proven that 7,000 meditators can reduce worldwide crime by like 75% when they just sit and meditate. And that's not even when they're achieving a full-blown state of meditation where they're truly achieving a state of self-realization. They realize that they are God. That's the highest state of meditation where you finally realize that your soul is now at the forefront of your consciousness and your soul is God. So you fully realize that you are God. That's self-realization. That's a high state. These meditators, the 7,000 meditators that were able to reduce world crime by 75%, didn't even achieve that state. Just tuning in to the more peace, love vibration that's below your subconscious mind gives you the power to put into your thought form what you want to have manifest in this world, and you're telling the cosmic internet God, this is your order for the future that you want to see manifest, and you are creating that future. And if we can get enough people collectively through your radio show and other radio shows to do this continuously, like, 1 hour a day of meditation where they spend 5 minutes focusing upon this thought form, then I think we could put into the consciousness of all the people that are not consciously meditating and not consciously aware of spiritual law, we could propagate into their minds this kind of idea because we're all connected. And they'll be much more readily able to accept and promote the idea of money made out of thin air without debt attached to it, because we've got that's the prime creative power of government, is supposed to be able to create money. And in the old days, it was coin money and regulate the value thereof. But gold and silver are what keep us enslaved, because if you have to mine for that stuff and destroy the planet to get your currency, that's a stupid thing. I mean, we're more intelligent as humans, and we don't need to destroy the earth to get precious metals to put into, little ingots so we could, have as a medium exchange. That's stupid. Let's just create money out of thin air, paper money that doesn't have a debt attached to it, use it as the medium of exchange, and then we have a society free of debt, a society free of enslavement, a society where minimum wage is no longer controlling people's lives and keeping them in poverty. We have enough money to fund our method of communication and our method of commerce. And it's been talked about extensively by Bill Still. If you want to get educated on this, get Bill Still's, go on YouTube and watch Bill Still's documentary, The Money Masters. Watch his other documentary, The Creature from Jekyll Island, but the other one that he wants, the Secret of Oz, where it's a shorter version of the synopsis of the same documentary, where basically he's painting a picture. He's defining the cause of all society's problems is from central banking, fiat money made out of thin air with debt attached to it. That's the cause of all distress that you have, practically speaking, to fix the entire spectrum of dysfunction in this culture, from GMO foods to Obamacare to you name it. You have to have money free of debt. And that is the solution, and that is what any candidate who's truly here on the planet to make a difference as a man of conscience, then that ultimately is the final and biggest goal of any political figure, is to get rid of central bank and make it a people-generated, tax-free currency, debt-free currency.
And one of the big words that you used in there, I agree with everything you said, and I want to bring us back around, that one of the things that you said in there was stress. I mean, everything that you were talking about, isn't there a lot of research now out? I know HeartMath has done quite a bit and other research institutes that are looking at the effect of stress, cumulative stress, and that also could be environmental factors, but that's further down this conversation, that stress is immunosuppressive. It's hard on the immune system to be in a chronic state of stress. Isn't that true in your research?
Yeah, that's true. And, it's, you know, I mean, just from people going into and watching a movie and measuring the amount of immunoglobulin and white blood cell activity in their saliva, it's suppressed and goes down when they watch any negative movies. And it goes up when it's when they watch positive stuff or, you know, humorous things that would make them laugh. So, yeah, we're designed, it's really clear, if you just think this through, that you cannot sustain a state of fear, hate, or anger for very long without your own body being destroyed. And this is the system in place in this country today is a system designed to keep nothing but fear, nothing but concern, nothing but pandemonium always in front of you to keep you constantly fed at the mental level to feed into your, you know, survival instincts of self-preservation and stress hormone production. So, yeah, you're not going to work biochemically, physiologically like you're designed because you're designed, our body and nervous system is designed to function just as nature is designed, total peace, total oneness, total serenity. You go walk outside in nature and you always experience the calm breeze of nature blowing through the, you know, tree limbs and branches and, you know, squirrels running around here and there and deer quietly eating and doing their thing. Everything's constantly in harmony in the natural world. We're so not in touch with the natural world that we're constantly in reaction to just worrying about having enough money to keep a roof over our head. That's the insanity in which we live. That's one reason why there's so much distress, disease in this country and in this population of the United States of America. Of course, there's physical factors as well. You know, there's everyone not being aware of their diets that, you know, needs to become, you know, organic in their consumption of whatever their foods are, and also the degree of processing, you know. I mean, personally, I find that the older you get, the more you can tell these kinds of things, and it's partly genetic too, but for me, I need more raw foods than cooked. That's become a real critical aspect of me putting enough energy into my body on a daily basis that I feel the vitality to say, yeah, I can do today, and I'm going to do today with gusto and do it well. If I do mostly cooked foods, I don't feel so good after a short period of time. And that's going to vary per person based on genetics and a lot of things, but I'm just giving advice for people that, you know, haven't yet tried this. They might want to explore that. You know, it's not true for everybody, but it's true for a few people. And, of course, toxicity in the environment is a huge factor. You know, I'm just blown away that so many people don't realize these chemtrails in the sky and the aluminum that they're inhaling, that they can't acknowledge or admit to that. And, you know, that's a huge factor, I believe. And my lungs have definitely been super stressed for, you know, inhaling all the aluminum that's been in the atmosphere. And, you know, it's one of the reasons that I take the whey protein I promote all the time is keep my glutathione up to detox my lungs as much as I can. From all the aluminum.
And do you
that we
think,
inhale.
I want to jump in on that partially back to the raw food for a moment. Do you think that part of the benefit of that raw food is the what I will call structured liquid, i.e. the water that's in there? Because
yes.
our water is so, our drinking daily water, that's really what I want to move toward is talking about our drinking water and what your feelings
sure.
are about chlorine and fluoride and all that. Because that's such a low level. That's one thing we all have in common. If you drink just tap water, even though our tap water is cleaned in terms of, yes, the point of origin of, you know, purifying water is to kill pathogens, but the byproduct of how that chlorine then breaks down into other factors is really a tricky vat of goo.
Yeah.
So talk to us about, you know, drinking water, because I believe that there is benefit in raw food, but and I think not all of it, but I think a lot of the benefit is from that clean, particularly if you're eating non-GMO foods or organic foods, you're getting the cleanest water on the planet is
yeah,
from
so
those
there's a couple
plants.
Things.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. There's a couple things I should address there. One is the food, the raw food. Yes, especially from the fruits and vegetables, especially when you juice them, there's that liquid that's structured that's going to hydrate you, and it's one of the main reasons why no matter what juice you drink that's freshly pressed from fruit or vegetables, but particularly vegetables, your cells are hydrated better than they are from regular water, and that's the reason there's such a therapeutic effect. There's other reasons why, of course, such as the antioxidants, the phytochemicals, the vitamins and minerals, the nutrients. Those are all factors, but the water structure is probably the biggest factor from fresh raw vegetable juices and fruit juices. Now, with regards to raw other foods, raw milk, raw eggs, and yes, some people even pursue eating raw animal meats, these are factors where you're getting peptides and you're getting amino acids and you're getting electron-rich foods that basically aren't going to cause inflammation. Anytime you cook a food, you at the molecular, atomic level, are changing the shape and distorting things, and you're causing cells to break open and release their water, and you're losing all these benefits, including the electron content of that food. So that means when the food gets into your body, it's going to want to steal electrons from your system, which is to say be a free radical and create inflammation, which is what happens. When you cook food, you create a food that's going to cause or contribute to free radical damage, and depending upon how well your antioxidant production is, you may be having chronic inflammation. A lot of people do, and that's disease-causing. So I am a fan and an advocate of those who are wanting to pursue a raw food diet because it's been miraculously helpful and life-giving to me and people I know. And then as far as water goes, there's a study that was done by Igor Smirnov where he went when the nuclear power plant meltdown happened in Chernobyl, Ukraine, that release of radiation into the atmosphere caused disease in a lot of people and cancer in a lot of people, but some people didn't. And he studied the people who were not getting any of this cancer disease, and it took him 10 years, but he finally found it was the water that they were drinking. And he studied this water for 10 years, and this water was pouring off the Caucasus Mountains, the snow melt, and that this pouring off of, you know, waterfalls type action and stuff was creating a water that was a single-file structure where the water molecules were strung together like pearl necklace, single file, and that when the person consumed the water in that structured state, it went into your cells like 20 billion molecules at a time. It just was flowing in effortlessly through the aquaporine cells that where the water flows into your cells. So this particular structure, he then spent another 10 years studying how he could duplicate it at your own home, and he built a device that he calls MRET, and I've sold it for years. It's a little half-gallon pitcher, but basically you put your pure water into this half-gallon pitcher. You tap on the little plunger at the top that activates this electromagnetic device to pulse this energy and these frequencies into your water, and it structures your water so that it becomes this ideal single-file water molecule so that for 2-3 days after you've done this treatment, this water can hydrate you much, much better than normal water can hydrate you.
And do you think part of the benefit, I want to find out about is the MERT on your website? Can we find that if we're looking for it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's on there,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. M-E-R- okay, cool.
M-R-E-T.
Okay. And do you feel also that part of the benefit from the, what I would call pastured eggs, so they're not being fed grains or soy, they're just out in the field doing what chickens do if they're given the opportunity. They scratch around, they eat things. This is, you know,
yeah,
how they live normally in the world. And then the same thing with,
yeah.
And the same thing with like your One World Way, it's grass fed, it's not pasteurized, so it's as close to raw as can be manufactured.
Right.
Is that also there's the benefit about all those mineral cofactors, because again, if you're not eating an organic diet, you're not getting a full spectrum of minerals, which means everything. And I think someday in another 20 years, somebody will finally figure out that, like, oh, all those mineral cofactors were really important. What were we thinking? Maybe 30 years. But don't you think you're getting also benefits back to the raw, these whole vegetable juices, that you're also getting very positive benefits from that? And that leads
yes.
to the question about using sea salt as a source of minerals. So jump in there anywhere.
Yeah, so I do think that you're getting the mineral. You are getting the minerals from the whey protein. That's again, and that's another thing. Before I go on, I want to explain this so people really understand it. If you look at the work of Francis Pottinger, he took 900 cats. He had four different groups of cats, One group got cooked milk and cooked meat. Another group got raw milk and raw meat. Another group got a mixture of cooked milk, raw meat, and the other group got a mixture of raw milk, cooked meat. So these four groups, he noticed that the ones on the cooked foods aged, and they actually went, they got sick, and by the third generation, they were sterile. They couldn't even reproduce. The group that got the raw milk, raw meat were continually healthy. No problems each generation. The group that got the mixture had some health issues, but they remained relatively healthy because they had one form of food that was raw, whether it was the milk or whether it was the meat, one form of the food was raw. But then there was the group where they got milk from kittens that were fed raw milk from cows raised on agricultural waste. So a lot of the cows were fed bakery waste, citrus peel cake from the citrus juice industry. They take the peels and they feed them as a carbohydrate source to cows. They feed them beet pulp with no nutrients left in it. It's just left over from like sugar beet production. cottonseed meal that's just a totally pesticide-laden crop. All this junky carbohydrate leftover, nutritionless stuff, agricultural waste, is fed to the dairy industry cows who produce this milk that's so mineral and nutrient deficient and dysfunctional and, you know, full of organisms even too. They feed this raw milk to kittens and they develop the same deficiencies as if as though they were fed the pasteurized milk. So pasteurized milk heat alters the mineral structure and destroys the enzyme phosphatase, so you can't utilize the calcium in it properly, which is why so many people on pasteurized milk get osteoarthritis. That's mineral buildup in their joints, where they get all the pains of inflammation of calcium accumulation there, plus calcification of the arteries and buildup there, because they've cooked it and they've altered the protein and mineral bonding structure from the heating process. And that basically, that whole mineral subject gets altered when you cook foods. So yeah, raw vegetable juices is going to give you some of these bioavailable minerals, and also there are One World Whey, which is unheated, cold sterilized, is going to give you minerals that your body can fully use with no negative effects. So there's a big factor in terms of how you get your minerals in your body. It makes a big difference for sure.
And talk to us also about sea salt, because I'm a big fan of whole, real sea salt, not iodized, cute little round barrel that we all grew up with. Well, maybe I'm older. You know, with the girl on the side of the box, you know, I never understood rain, why she had an umbrella, but that whole thing, you know, that what I will call, again, this is my opinion, of the toxic iodide, you know, salt scam versus using really real whole salt, like sea salt or mine salt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, with regards to why they did the commercial, Morton Salt did the commercial with the girl, while it rains, it pours, is because salt in its natural state, as it's derived from the ocean or wherever, tends to be very hydrophobic, meaning it grabs water out of the air. So any moisture in the air causes salt crystals to basically clump up and become, you know, hard to pour out through a shaker jar with fine little holes in the top. And, in fact, I remember in the old days when my grandparents, they'd put grains of salt, grains of rice in their salt to prevent that caking problem. Well, when you take salt and you refine out of it all the precious elements so that it remains just sodium chloride, and you sell those precious elements as high-ticket items of gold and iridium and rhodium and whatever, as high-ticket metallurgical metals to the industry, and you take this sodium chloride and you heat it at high temperatures in an oven, a kiln oven in excess of 200 degrees, you cause the bonds of the sodium and the chloride to become very tightly bound, so that now when they are in a water solution, they don't necessarily break apart readily, and they'll remain as this tight crystal. So this is the analogy, is if you take clay and you make it wet and you then mold it into a plate and you put it into an oven and dry it in the oven at excess of 200 degrees, the bonds of the minerals of that clay plate become so tight that they won't allow moisture to enter back into them. No water can now enter back into these mineral structures, so that plate can now be used to eat off of wet foods, and it won't reabsorb and it'll be hard still. So the same thing with your salt. You cook it at high temperatures. You make it so the bonds are so tight that it won't allow for water to come back in. So now this stuff, we can sit in a jar, and you could shake it out of your container, and it won't ever cake up on you. So even when it rains and there's moisture in the air, it still pours. Your salt still comes out of the shaker easily. That's why they did that. But in terms of real salt, like you're talking about, with all the trace elements in it that hasn't been heated, yeah, there's Himalayan salt, there's Celtic salt, there's salt now out of, I think, South America or Central America that's being marketed in the U.S. as super, super delicious salt. And there are all these different salts coming out from different parts of the world where they're just either dehydrating seawater or they're relying on an ancient ocean water, you know, area that's just dehydrated, and now it's a salt mine like Himalayan salt, even real salt out of Utah. These are all excellent salts that you can use freely in your diet. There are some exceptions. People with high blood pressure, and they have they already have too much salt in their system from their high protein consumption and perhaps too much salt in their diet. They're in a category where even good salt can contribute to high blood pressure. So it's just kind of most people can be okay with it, but if you already have high blood pressure, you might have to be conscientious not to add salt to your diet temporarily until you fix your high blood pressure.
Yeah. I'm really quite fond of the real salt because I think it's a great dollar value. I mean, I like all the other salts because also when I cook, I use a variety of kinds of salts because they actually, once you start working with salt, you find that they have very, you know, some salts are tend to be sweeter, slightly sweeter in their flavor. They add a different quality to what you're cooking. But in terms of a dollar value, I think the real salt out of Utah is a great value.
I agree.
Himalayan salt I like quite a bit, but it has a higher iron oxide content, so I tend to lean toward the real world. It's just my personal, you know, palate. I've used that for years.
Yeah, the real salt. Yeah.
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 So somebody in chat is asking, what's your opinion of reverse osmosis water?
Well, I don't. It hasn't. Any water that's been part of the municipal water supply has got toxic memory in it, in terms of if you look at water crystallized and it's the memory that it's carrying, it's been exposed to aluminum as a flocculating agent, it's been exposed to the chlorine, it's been exposed to what's the other one that's got the ammonia in it? Chlorine, forget the other name of it, but basically these toxins then create a vibration, they're storing their vibration in the water molecule structure. They're not removed when you just run it through a reverse osmosis system. So I would put something to put that improve that water memory, to re-record over it some positive thing, whether that's your own favorite music or like Masaru Emoto did with positive words like I love you and I thank you and I'm grateful, these words on your bottles that you store them in, or even this MRET, because the MRET is going to restructure it into a really good structure of water. That's probably the most convenient.
And I have a side question. Somebody was asking about any relationship or correlation between chemtrails and cataracts. Any thoughts?
I would say that any time your liver is unable to produce protein in optimal levels, then you're not able to repair all parts of your body readily. So some parts fall behind, and you start to develop cataracts. And any number of different, you know, scar tissue type formation throughout the body, or less than ideal protein synthesis. I don't think it's a direct. I think it's an indirect cause. So, yeah, there's just more work people have to do to protect themselves from this toxic environment we live in, such as taking One World Whey to produce glutathione and promote detoxing better in their body.
And I have somebody else at. Oh, go ahead, Sherry.
You mentioned blood pressure a few minutes ago. That was one of the questions left over from last week. So could you address information about nutrition and blood pressure and maybe how to get rid of it?
Yeah, I find that vegetable juices in general are really good to promote lowering of blood pressure. It's, again, that structured water and all the minerals that are bioavailable that basically you're trying to get the kidney functioning better. I think most people's high blood pressure is due to their kidney weakness. What I would recommend a person do, also in addition to this added vegetable juice to their diet, is there are herbs that they can take, combination formulas that are designed to increase nitric oxide that helps to lower blood pressure and helps clean arterial plaque out of the arteries. We've got a product called BP Elite that promotes nitric oxide production, and nitric oxide production, again, is really good to help clean the arteries of plaque, which then can help restore flexibility to the arteries and help lower blood pressure. People need to avoid too many cooked animal proteins in the diet that have a high blood pressure, because they contribute to creation of a lot of what's called nitrogen salts. and the nitrogen salts in combination with the non-chloride salts and chloride salts, which is like the salts we were just talking about, can become so high that the blood becomes too thick. And when the blood becomes too thick, then the heart has to pump harder to pump thick blood, which creates the high blood pressure. So protein in the diet is kind of important to look at, what kind, how much you're eating of it. Our protein would be good because it's non-denatured, but cooked animal proteins are what to watch out for or reduce. The other one is if the person's like had this chronically and they're not able to really regulate this with just diet, it's because their kidneys are damaged, then they need to repair and heal the nephrons, the actual kidney cells, so that the whole mechanism of producing renin that regulates blood pressure from the kidneys and stuff is all corrected. So I would work on healing the kidneys. Synergy 1 is perhaps the most significant thing I could introduce people to support healing of the kidneys, along with Medix product that we carry called Medix KDR or KDN for kidney. So Medix KDN plus Synergy 1 would be two products to help really focus on repairing a damaged kidney. And then if a person wanted to employ diet to support healing the kidneys more, then they would look into getting raw colostrum. This is not an easy thing to get. No, I'm not talking about powdered colostrum. It won't work in my experience. You have to get fresh raw colostrum from a farm where they're raising their cows, you know, on grass. And they every time the mother cow has a calf, then there's more than enough colostrum produced to raise the calf for the first 3 days, so they can milk the cow and get quite a bit of colostrum, gallons of colostrum, and set it aside and freeze it, and that's fine. And then you buy that colostrum they've set aside, and you could drink that, and it's got so many growth factors in it. People that have followed a purely, it's actually a fast. You have to do like, there's this kind of fast you can do. It's called the milk diet, where you mix 25% colostrum with 75% raw milk from grass-fed cows, and you ferment it with a Bulgaricus-type bacteria, and you get a kefir yogurt type product, and you drink that exclusively, 3-4 quarts a day or more for 4 weeks. And lots of people have cured their kidney problems with just a 4-week fast on the raw colostrum, raw milk combination.
Have you seen, this is a side question, in your research, have you seen a correlation between this has to do with the adrenals and kidneys. Since the adrenals are suprarenal, which means, in my mind, visually, the adrenals ride the kidneys kind of like a guy on horseback. And
yeah.
So do you see a correlation between highly stressed adrenals and stressed kidneys? And do they have a relationship that way in your mind?
I don't know. I've never been asked that question. That's the first one for me. I don't... I would say they're probably both connected for sure, and that there's some degree of stress for sure, but the kidneys themselves I don't think are actually experiencing the kind of stress that's going to break them down from adrenal stress, because
okay.
it's more what the kidneys filter that determines whether they're being damaged, which is to say filtering, you know, drugs out of the bloodstream directly through the kidneys can damage the kidneys, filtering heavy metals out of the kidneys can damage the kidneys. You know, bad diet, alcohol, those things can damage the kidneys.
Right. We really, it is underrated how much of a filtering system our body is in terms of our liver and our kidney. Just that alone, I mean, they're really giant filters. They do a lot of other things,
exactly.
But they really are. They're having to filter out all that, whatever it is we're putting in has to go out someplace. So it's a hard job.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, you have to lower your burden of detoxing capacity. That's one of the ways by which you promote the healing in the body. So for me, a long time of struggling with adrenal fatigue and mercury poisoning and stuff, and I was eating the cooked food diet and doing the best that I knew and giving myself enemas and stuff like that. But still, I was burdening my body with the cooked foods more so than with the raw. So when I went into raw, there was less toxins to be excreted through my liver and kidneys. So I gained that much more, you could say, life energy in those organs to do other work, to promote, because the liver is responsible for producing the glutathione and the detox chemicals, superoxide dismutase, catalase, proteins, phase 1 and phase 2 liver detoxification chemicals. It's responsible for producing so much stuff that they've theoretically calculated that it takes 2 city blocks of man-made manufacturing equipment to be the equivalent of how much function the liver has in our body.
Yeah, the liver is quite a hero. The liver is really an amazing beast, a positive beast. I have another question from the audience regarding, do you have thoughts on, let me see how I can put this, from transferring from statins to herbs, or in my opinion, avoiding statins altogether and just going to herbs?
Yeah, exactly, going all the herbs, because statins are interfering with the liver's production of cholesterol, which is really unhealthy. I mean, first of all, you're second-guessing nature's design, and you're assuming cholesterol is the cause of plaque in your arteries, and it's not. It's a misperception that's been communicated to you by doctors. The cause of the plaque in the arteries has to do with chronic inflammation caused by numerous different factors, and due to, you know, persons a lot of times that are diabetics, their fluctuating insulin levels create this high triglyceride production and tendency towards plaque accumulation really excessively. And there's things you could do dietarily to prevent plaque accumulation. So I would tell this person to, one, take a nitric oxide boosting supplement like BP Elite or something else that works for you to promote the removal of plaque in your arteries. Two, to promote a healthy liver, and that would mean not consuming refined white sugars and high fructose corn syrup and all these things that basically, when you consume high simple sugars in high amounts in your body in a short period of time, your liver produces a ton of triglycerides, which are going to promote thick blood and plaque on the arteries, potentially. So, you know, eliminate that. And then instead of lowering cholesterol in the liver, don't. Just promote liver health. The cholesterol produced by your liver literally is responsible for repairing your brain, responsible for creating your steroid hormones, responsible for the flexibility of the membrane wall of every single cell of your body. So that's why it's produced 24 hours a day. It's why 80% of the cholesterol in your blood is produced by your liver. It has nothing to do with your diet. It's an essential substance. And people that have taken statins, especially the senior citizen, elderly people, they frequently lose a portion or significant amount of their memory because that cholesterol is not going up there to promote their proper brain function. So you do not want to take statins. They are wrong. They're interrupting a function that's necessary. You want to instead promote clean arteries with a high nitric oxide producing type supplement. You want to produce clean arteries by a healthy diet, and you know, and your body can. I've had one guy with, you know, 70% occluded artery be 100% clean arteries in 12 months by doing the good diet and the supplements that I got him on.
Amazing. And would you, back to arteries for a minute, are you an advocate or have thoughts about using arginine as a supplement to make more flexible arteries and all its other benefits?
Yeah, arginine is good. It raises nitric oxide. It does it very briefly. It doesn't do it for very long, but it does it a little bit. And there's something that does it naturally. It's the nitrates found in beets. And so I recommend that if you are, you know, have your own juicer or get your own juicer, to start doing like a one beet juice a day in addition to some other vegetables, you know, some celery and some spinach or something, and do one beet or half a beet and drink that every day. And that will promote nitric oxide production just naturally from the beet juice.
There's actually a really wonderful juice I used to make where I do a beet, a little bit of celery, and some garlic, just a little bit of garlic and some ginger first thing in the morning, because the ginger is warming to the system, so it would be like a great, you wouldn't think of it, but it's a really great morning, you know, like boost or bump. And plus it's warming to the system because that ginger really carries, you know, warmth into the body. It's a great combination. It's a little like, wow, at first, but it's delicious once you get used to it.
It's a good one. That's really good. Yeah, ginger's great.
I'm a huge fan of ginger. Okay, so I knew it was going to happen, but we're really out of time. I knew this was going to be another pedal to the metal because we could go for hours. I can tell that. How do people get in touch with you? What website would you like them to go to? And how do people work with you?
They can call us at 864-895-6250, 864-895-6250. The website is sgn80.com. Again, that's sgn80.com. And they can work with me by talking to my staff to get questions answered about things that what products do for them that they might want to buy, or if they need a comprehensive analysis of how to take them from where they're at to a better state, they could book an appointment through one of my staff members for sure. And the only thing I want them to do to help me have a little more information is just to do their pH, get some pH paper and do the urine and saliva pH in the morning, say around 10 a.m., 2 hours after a meal. Do that for 3 days, record those numbers for 3 days, and add them together and divide by three and come up with the average of urine and saliva pH for those 3 days so that I have that in addition to information you give me in a health evaluation form that we would send to you in an email so that with those combined pieces of information, I'm more accurately able to recommend things for you.
Okay. And do you have an article, I bet you do, on your website somewhere about the pH testing just so people can read a bit more about it?
We send it to you via email, so just call us and give us your email, and we'll send it to you.
Oh, great. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, I only have 7,000 more questions, so there'll be a lot more. Sherry, do you have any closing questions, or should we move right toward the exit, because I think you have a class coming up?
I do have a class, but we didn't even get to what was left over from last time. So... Stephen is a much-needed guest. He supports our audience incredibly, and they want more, so we'll just make him a regular if he's up.
Yeah, I'll for sure. I thank you for the opportunity, of course. I mean, it seems that I've got this nerd-type life that I've been assigned to carry out, so I'll do the best I can.
I'm laughing because I resemble that remark. So, yeah. Nerd is a lifestyle. There you go. Nerd is a lifestyle. We need a new
t-shirt.
Thank you,
Stephen.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Richard. You got love you both.
Thank
Your
you very much. That was a great show.
Incredible.
Yep. Thank
Bye.
You. All right, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.